Verse 18, but let me pray first. Father God, we thank you that you have spoken to us in your word. We thank you that you morning. Please give us ears to hear. Please help us see what the Spirit is doing among us to you in faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Romans 8, verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, this is God's word to us this morning. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ. We've seen again and again in Romans that our sin will not separate us if we're in Christ Jesus, because Christ died for our sin. He's paid for it. We've been set free from sin's power. There is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Those who trust Jesus cannot be cut off from God's love by their sin. But today we're going to consider a second potential barrier. Shall suffering separate us from God's love? When the storms of suffering rage around us, it can feel like we're on an island and there are stormy seas all around and there's no way of crossing over to the mainland of God's love. And there's no way that he could come across to us. The seas are too turbulent, the storm is too great, suffering has cut us off. That's what it can feel like. And this is no minor problem. Christians suffer terribly. Many of you were in this room with me a little more than a year ago for Elise Bailey's funeral. It was a terribly sad occasion. There's suffering in the life of the Christian. Many in this last year have lost loved ones and been unable to grieve together as families. Sometimes Christians suffer particularly because they are Christians. Paul quotes in verse 36 of our reading from a psalm. It says, "For your sake we face death all day long." The psalmist was suffering because he was following the Lord. For your sake we're suffering. Christians don't get a pass on suffering. And it's quite understandable to feel that this experience of suffering might somehow cut us off from God's love. And if that is what we feel, Romans 8 will be a great comfort to us and will teach us this morning. Without in any way minimizing the reality of suffering, God declares to us this morning that suffering shall not separate us from God's love. Suffering shall not separate us from God's love. Even amidst our suffering, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Well, there'll be some of us today who aren't greatly afflicted by suffering currently. Well, both the testimony of Scripture and the experience of older Christians is that it will come. And so do listen in this morning. And I've heard a saying that I've never mended a roof myself, but I've heard that if you want to mend a roof, a sunny day with light winds is much better than in the middle of the storm. I take it that that's true. And so if you feel actually it's quite a calm in your life for the moment, take today to check the roof. Check the buildings in good hands. And so when the storm of suffering does come, we'll stand. Suffering shall not cut us off from God's love. Why? Because suffering is heavy but temporary. Suffering is heavy but temporary. Verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Our present sufferings are the sufferings of this age. They're heavy when weighed on the scales of this age. But when weighed on the scales of eternity, they cannot even be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed in us. They can't even be weighed on the same scale. So it's like us. Present sufferings, they're kitchen scale sufferings. A bag of sugar, it's heavy. But when compared with eternity and the glory that's coming, well, it fades to weigh our sufferings, it's kitchen scale sufferings. But the glory that's coming to us needs an HGV weigh station to measure just how great it is. The two cannot be compared, says Paul. Suffering is heavy, but temporary. We see, first of all, that creation, the whole world, the heavens, the earth, the seas, the birds, everyone in creation is waiting for the end of suffering. Verse 19, the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. It's like the creation is standing on tiptoes, straining its neck, trying to get a glimpse of what is to come. And what is to come, when God's children are revealed, is the end of all suffering. You see, when Adam sinned, creation was subjected to frustration. Not willingly, but as God cursed the ground, the whole creation was subjected to frustration. Fruit will only come through painful work and amidst thorns. Now creatures are at enmity with one another. Creation was subjected to frustration. Creation experiences suffering. Creation groans. But in the very words of that curse, God included a promise of deliverance. The seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. And so in verse 20, it says it was subjected in hope that it would one day be liberated from its bondage and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. Creation waits in hope for the end of suffering because suffering is temporary. But the present experience of our world is groaning because suffering is heavy. Verse 22, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. As a man, I'm in dangerous territory here, so I'm going to be brief, but I have at least been present at the birth of four children. And I can tell you with some degree of confidence that the groaning of childbirth is not like the groaning when you hear that Spurs have lost another game. It is a groaning in your inmost being, pain right at the center of your being. And creation is groaning right now because suffering is heavy. But it's not just the world around us that is groaning. Verse 23, not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly. It's an amazing privilege to be a child of God. The Spirit Himself lives in us. And yet we're not given a pass on sufferings. Those who have the Spirit of God groan inwardly. Just as the Psalms are full of lament and cries of anguish, so the New Testament believer groans inwardly. Those who think the life of the Christian is one of endless bliss don't have their watches set right, because the present age is the age of suffering, and the age of endless bliss without suffering is the life to come. Suffering is heavy, even for those who have the Spirit of God, and yet the Spirit Himself is a first fruits. In autumn, as the first apples become ripe, they're tasty. And they're great. They're a promise of a greater harvest still to come. Isn't it amazing that the Holy Spirit living within us is just a first fruit, like the first apple of the crop, and that greater things are to come? If you have the Spirit of God living in you, you have tasted of the harvest that's to come, but only the first fruits. Something greater is coming because suffering is temporary. Suffering is temporary, and we are waiting eagerly for our adoption to sonship. See, verse 23 goes on, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. You see, we have been declared to be God's children if we've been given the Spirit. He is the Spirit of adoption. If you have God's Spirit, you're God's son in his sight. But the completeness of our adoption is something that's still to come. When the whole creation sees who are God's children, when our bodies are fully and finally transformed, no longer subject to death, no longer drawn to sin, that is future. The fullness of our adoption, the full harvest, is something we're looking forward to. And so we wait in hope because suffering is temporary. Well, we've seen already two groans caused by the present sufferings. Creation groans. We groan. And now Paul adds a third. Incredibly, as we groan, the Holy Spirit himself groans with us. Verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes with us. So intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Alongside our groans of pain and suffering, and the creation's groans of frustration, the Holy Spirit groans with us and for us. When we don't know what to pray for, the Spirit groans for us. Wordless groans that perfectly match God the Father's will for us. And this is a very precious ministry of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Many times in these last 2 years, my prayers have been little more than groans. I haven't known what to pray. Should I pray that a period of suffering would be removed from a dear friend, or that God would sustain them through that suffering? Both are good things. Both bring God the glory. God's the powerful one who removes the pain, or God's the powerful one who sustains his people in the pain. We don't know what to pray often in the face of suffering. And sometimes all we can do is groan. But the Spirit groans with us and for us with groans that perfectly match God's will. When good friends of ours discovered that their unborn baby had a rare genetic disorder and it was unlikely to live more than a few weeks, we groaned with them. They relied wholly on God's strength as they carried that baby to term. And God sustained them. They enjoyed his company for just a few short weeks before he passed away in December. We groan, don't we, in the face of such suffering? But what a comfort to know that the Spirit himself groans with us and for us in those situations. And groans that perfectly match God's will. In the light of such suffering, groaning is right, because suffering is heavy. But it is temporary. And so we eagerly await the redemption of our bodies and the glory that will be revealed in us. Romans 8:28 has long been one of my most treasured promises in all of Scripture. But it comes precisely in this context of deep groaning. The groaning of creation, of ourselves, of the Spirit. This is the context for this great promise. Verse 28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. Notice that God will work in all things for our good. Not just pleasant things. This is no promise that Christians won't experience periods of great hardship and suffering. No, this promise is deeper than that. It's richer than that. In those periods of suffering and trial, God is using even those things for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. Now, good is not necessarily the good that we would choose in that situation, but we can trust our Heavenly Father that he knows what is good for us and he gives good gifts to his children. And so if you love God, if you consider him to be your richest treasure, if you've been called by him, then all things will work together for your good. Shall suffering separate us from the love of Christ? Absolutely not. God will work even that for the good of his children. Notice we're not promised to know what the good is in a situation. Often people can look back years later and they might see something of how God used that trial, that hardship, but there's no promise that we'll know how he used it for good. But we can trust that our Heavenly Father will use all things he gives us for good in his good purpose. Job underwent great suffering and he didn't know why. He wasn't given the answers, but he trusted that God was sufficient. God was enough. And God invites us to do the same. Trust me that all things will work for your good, dear child. Amazingly, those friends of mine who lost their dear son, they said they wouldn't change anything of the last 12 months. I find that astonishing. They wouldn't change anything. See, they have come to know more of God's faithfulness and love through their deep trials than they ever knew before. For them, suffering has not separated them from God's love, but instead has helped them to know it more deeply and more richly. And notice the particular good God delights to work in us through all things. Verse 29, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. God delights to make us more like the Lord Jesus through all things. And it doesn't stop there. Verse 30, those he predestined, he also called. He said, this one is going to be like my son. And he called them and to raise them from dead to life. And those he called, he also justified and said, this one is not guilty. They are righteous in my sight. And those he justified, he also glorified. Glorified. The thing that the start of our reading said is future. Our present sufferings don't compare with the glory that will be revealed in us. Now it's describing them as past. He has glorified his children because it's so certain. Suffering is temporary. Glory is coming for all God's children. How can we be so certain? Verse 32 explains. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? You see, if God gave up his own son to die on the cross, if he gave up his most precious gift, it is inconceivable that he will hold back any good thing from us. He will graciously give us every good gift. He will give us that glory that is coming for his children. If you don't yet know this love that cannot be broken, that you cannot be separated from, then you can know it today. Those God predestined, he also called. Perhaps God is calling you this morning. Come, know this love. This love that means your suffering, though it is heavy, it will be temporary. You could come to him today and say, Lord God, I want to know that love. It's a wonderful privilege, isn't it, to walk with those who are suffering, but who love God. They rarely have answers for their suffering, but I've noticed from many in our church family that it's often in times of suffering that the Lord becomes most dear to us. That's been the experience of my friends, it's been the experience of many in this building. These dear saints have learned to cry out to God using the Psalms, trusting that he is the one who we can cry to in our pain. They've learned to trust the great promise that though suffering is heavy, it is temporary. And it's not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. And they've come to delight in the ministry of the Spirit, whose wordless groans for us and with us perfectly match God's will. As I look around this room, many here are living proof that suffering shall not separate us from God's love. If you are struggling with suffering and do feel that it's cutting you off from God's love this morning, please speak to somebody. Please speak to somebody else in the church. You are not alone in groaning. Please keep on groaning to God, knowing he is the one who sustains us in our suffering, and knowing that he is the one who is working glory in us and is going to bring us to his glory. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Verse 35, shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Verse 37, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. No suffering can separate us from God's love, and neither can anything else. Death is no barrier to the one who's risen from the dead. Life in all its frustrations cannot stop him. Angels, demons, powers, they're more powerful than us, but not God. The painful present, the uncertain future, they're beyond our control, but not God's. The highest of heights, God is there. The deepest of depths, God is there. No limits of time or of space can separate us from God's love. In fact, there is nothing in all creation that is able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the reality of the scriptures that speak to us in our pain, that groan in pain. Father, we thank you that we are not alone in groaning, that all creation, that even your Spirit groans with us and for us. Help us to see that glorious truth that though suffering is heavy, it is temporary, and you have prepared for us a great weight of glory that far outweighs our suffering, and to help us to wait patiently, to hope, to long for that day. In Jesus' name, amen.